Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, your home for GAA gear.
A very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score programme tonight. It's just coming up on 6 minutes past six. Included on tonight's show, we'll be looking ahead to the quarterfinals of the FAI Cup with Aidan Fitzmaurice of the Sunday Independent. Plus, we'll be talking Dingle Derby success once again with Noel and Leona. Plus, Noel and Leona McLaughlin, that is, excuse me. Plus, there'll be lots more bits and bobs happening as well between now and 8 o'clock. But we are going to start with athletics, and joining us on the line is our athletics correspondent Patsy McGonigal, because there's a massive night ahead for Mark English, who is chasing a sixth major championship medal, and he's going for gold. He set a championship record at the European Championships in Birmingham yesterday evening in the semi-final, and he's looking to carry that superb form into the final tonight. He's due on track around 9:30, and Patsy McGonigal joins us now. Patsy, a very good evening.
Good evening, Ashin. Good evening.
Well, Patsy, Mark is no stranger, as we know, to championship finals. He's been there before. He's medalled twice at outdoors, three times at European indoors. He'll very much know how to manage this situation now this evening.
Yes, of course he will. And, you know, he's got a lot of experience. And we keep on saying that he's got a lot of experience. And, you know, hopefully it'll all stand to him tonight. You know, and as the hours kick in and we get nearer and nearer to the start time, obviously everybody's getting nervous, excited, and so on. So it's a big night. It's a massive challenge for him. And should he come out with a gold medal, you know, let's put it in perspective. Only two other Irish athletes in history have taken gold at the European Championships, namely Sonia and Ciara McGeehan. You know, so he would be on a list with a very, very unique number of athletes, and it would be such a big achievement. And you know, as you say, his form's good. He broke that record in the heat in the semi-final, actually, and you know, that's so unusual. And the British are on his case, because they've got two very, very good lads who obviously they think can win as well. So it's a world-class field. It's a European final. We've got a man from Donegal in that final, and it's something to be very, very excited about.
Yeah, he's now at a stage in his career where he's, a lot of people thought maybe a couple of years ago that he was at the latter end of his career, but that's not very much the case. He is putting in the best times and the best running of his career now. His preparations for these championships, once again, Patsy, has been superb. He changed his approach a number of years ago, and now there's an opportunity that this can prove to be the icing on the cake for him.
Well, that's exactly, you've summed it all up there. He has changed his approach. And of course, he continued to work very, very hard. And of course, many years of really, really strenuous training experience. And an experience not only in training, but experience of major meets. You know, the fact that he gets into Diamond League races is a massive, massive boost. Because, you know, in this game, and I mentioned it in Highland previously, it's so, so important at that level, that you get the proper racing. And through Ricky Sims, he's been able to do that. So, you know, it's a dream. It's a dream team, really, with Ricky in the background and with his new coach, Rinaldi, doing the business, and Mark listening and carrying out the plan. So it's all good. And added to that, He used altitude to a great extent right through the summer, and that worked for him big time.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot, Patsy, all right? Would you be confident that Mark English can take gold tonight? Because he's in a very, yes, very primed position, so he is.
Yes, indeed. I would be confident that on this occasion that we could have a gold medal winner here. So he's certainly capable of it. If everything goes, and that's not, no dodging the question, if everything goes according, it gets a clear run at it, absolutely, he can take the gold.
Okay, we've got our fingers crossed. Hopefully it works out. I'm sure Patsy will be talking to you later on this evening again. But the very best of luck to Mark English in that final. That's all we can do now, Patsy, is wish him all the very, very best.
Absolutely. Actually, just to remind everybody, 28 minutes past 9 on television.
Okay, thanks, Patsy. We'll talk to you soon. Patsy McGonigal of Fun Valley AC and, of course, our athletics correspondent. A huge night on the way for Mark English. We've all got our fingers crossed that he can become a European champion, taking a gold medal this evening. Now, tributes continue to be paid to James and Noreen McHugh following Monday's tragic road collision which claimed the lives of the Kildare couple. James will be best remembered for being part of the Donegal side that famously won the county's first ever All-Ireland title in September of 1992. Playing alongside his brother Martin, he was among the scorers against Dublin on that day as Donegal claimed the famous one, and James would also receive an All-Star that year. He made a senior inter-county debut in 1990 and helped Donegal to Ulster glory that summer. He also won a Railway Cup for Ulster in 1994. James was a proud Kilcar clubman and memorably captained them to Dr. Maguire's success in 1985 and would go on to win two further club championship honours in 89 and 93. James was still actively involved in his club up until his passing, and the couple's death has been met with deep sadness by their family, friends, James's work colleagues in the ESB and the wider GAA community. Brendan Devaney is a former Donegal star forward and presenter of the DL debate here in Highland. A short time ago, I spoke to him as he reflected on his time with James McHugh.
He was quietly spoken, Oisin, but when he spoke, you know, he was well able to handle himself. He would articulate what he'd want to say when he needed to say it. And he came back, he had kind of retired and he came back into the squad in 1998 and the championship. And I remember his first training back at Lahey because I'd been playing with some of the guys in the 92 Heroes, and James landed in. It was just phenomenal to be at training with him and get to know him as the man he was.
Quality as a person, but quality in class as a footballer as well.
Yeah, real intelligence. And it's something that marked out even the training when I seen him come back in. Just when he got the ball, he knew his movement, his shape, where he needed to be. And as I say, it was just brilliant to be along with him. Having watched him for years as a young fella and then getting the chance to play with him, and then I would later coach against him as well and play club against him. It was just brilliant for a young man like me to be in the same field as him and then to play with him at Donegal was like a dream come true. Yeah.
And you probably got to know him a wee bit better maybe on the line when Unions and Kilcare were meeting in league games and championship, and I'm sure you had big games along the way and it was nice in the line at times.
Yeah, listen, he could be spicy, yeah. I remember 2012, we had a three-game saga. We played three championship games in a row. And listen, but the thing about it different, Oisin, was that if you had a couple of words in the line, you shook hands after it, and that was the end of it, and that was the type of him. And sure, of course, you know, championship, he was Kilcare through and through. He loved that club so much, and I think that's what it meant to him on the line. Of course, things would spill a wee bit, but after, but me and him, we'd always a shake of hands, and we would have a joke and a laugh after the match.
Yeah. Obviously there's been lots of brother duos in Gaelic football, and probably the most famous one now is the Cliffords, but listen, Martin and James were probably the best known Gaelic football duo back then, particularly in the 90s.
Yeah, certainly. In 1997 we played them in the county semi-final. It was my first year playing senior, and the two lads was playing, and again, Oisin, just to be in the same pitch as them was unbelievable for me. And then to meet them, and you know, I remember the first time Declan Bonner took me in, you know, Martin McHugh was alarming me, phoned me at the house to say you're joining the county panel. So to be in the company of himself and James and that, and their effect on, obviously, in Kilcare and on Donegal was absolutely huge. You know, they were just two brilliant ball players, two players that were very, nearly impossible to mark, and they both could contribute so much in the pitch. So, you know, for young lads and the people aspiring to be able to play along and to meet these guys was just great. And I say the two lads, you know, we're just like, they're just Donegal football gold, the two of them.
Yeah. Obviously, we're thinking on all the McHugh family, and in particular Owen and Emma. And listen, Brendan, you had your own personal experience of tragedy and loss within your own family. And at times like this, I suppose the GAA, it shows how important it is for the community. And James was a very, very strong Kilcare man. And likewise, the club thought a lot and think a lot of the McHugh family, and in particular James as well. But this is when the GAA shows a different sort of strength when they all come together to support each other.
Yeah, I thought it was this, myself and yourself were down the way, gosh, and I really thought, you know, from the get-go, all the Kilcare club people that were out there, the warmth, you know, obviously in this tough time, you know, the air of sadness was really, really tough place to go. But between the Kilkear people, the club people, and then his family, they were so, so nice. And I suppose the respect of James out there means that, you know, so many, you know, the tragedy of the family means that it's spread right across the whole GA world as well. And, you know, the outpouring of grief, you know, was huge. But as you said there, it was amazing just to see the town and the club pulling together just to try and help out the family. And it does give you strength, you know, it does. It is, people think it's very tough on you, but you do take that, the condolences and the hugs and the energy from people. You do need it. It does carry you along in what is a hugely tough time for the McHugh family and everybody close to them.
That's Brendan Devaney, and as part of Brendan's DL Debate Show this coming Monday night, he'll be paying further tribute to James McHugh and his contribution to GAA in Donegal, alongside two other of the 92 heroes, John Joe Doherty and Tony Boyle. That's the DL Debate, which will be aired next Monday evening. James and Noreen will be laid to rest in Kilkear on Saturday morning. Everyone here at Highland would once again like to send their condolences and sincere thoughts and prayers to Owen, Emma and to Martin and all the McHugh and O'Donnell families on the passing of James and Noreen. May they rest in peace.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, home to a full range of Gaelic gloves designed for comfort, grip and performance. Shop now at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Just looking at the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Senior Football Championship Round 2 fixtures for this coming weekend. As a mark of respect to the McHugh family on the passing of James and Noreen, Kilkear's match against Four Masters this Saturday has been postponed and will be played on the weekend of the 29th and 30th of August. Killybegs against Dunlow was also due to be played on Saturday. That's now moved to Sunday at 4 o'clock in Fintra. The matches between Neve Columba and Gweedore and Aroo's hosting of Neve Connell will both go ahead at 7 o'clock on Saturday evening. The matches on Sunday will be featuring here on Highland on Sunday Sport. We'll have full commentary from Ballybuffet as McCool's play host to St Union's at 2 o'clock. At the same time, it's Downing's against Glen Swilly. Then at 4, Termon will play Glen Finn. We'll have updates from that game. And also at 4, as I just told you, Killybegs will be playing Dunlow and Fintra. And then we'll also have coverage as well from the Bridge, St Michael's against Ardrah, with Brian Kilcoyne and Gary McDade on duty there. The third round draw will take place just shortly after 6 on Sunday. In the Intermediate Football Championship this weekend, Red Hughes against Fannad Gaels, Clonhilly against Carndonagh, and Neve Padraigish Gaheena are playing host to Mallon in an all-in-a-shown affair on Saturday. When on Sunday, it's Bird against Nivora, Milford to go on St Noel's, and Muncrana play Bundoran. When in the Junior Championship this weekend, Naross are up against Pettigo, Robert Emmett's playing Neve Ulton, Letterkenny Gaels to go on at Neve Breed, Neve Padraig Lifford will host St Mary's Convoy, and Neve Columkill are heading to Mobile. Moving on now to soccer. This weekend sees the remaining 16 teams battle it out for a place in the FAI Senior Cup quarterfinals. Amongst the most notable ties, Derry City are away to UCD on Friday. Sligo Rovers welcome Kerry to the showgrounds on Saturday. And Sunday sees the top two in the Premier Division go head-to-head, with St Patrick's Athletic taking on Shamrock Rovers. Aidan Fitzmaurice is a soccer writer with the Irish Independent and the Evening Herald. He's been speaking to Mark Gallagher this week. Aidan and Mark started their chat with a focus on the latest ongoing surrounding Derry City and their player James McLean, who was reported this week that his contract had been terminated. But now it all seems rosy in the garden once again at the Brandywell with McLean and the club.
I think once the Derry lads meet up in Derry on Friday and get on the bus to go to Dublin to play UCD, I think they'd be very glad of the relief just to close that door, get on the bus and get away from Derry, because it's just been a mental week. I wasn't there for the training session on Tuesday, but seeing the camera crews outside as James drove in, this is the thing you see at PSG or Chelsea or Man United or Rangers or somewhere, Mark. You're not used to seeing this on the Lawnmower Road. So I think it has been a pretty chaotic week. The fact that this happened in the week that they also had an open training session as part of the Fela Festival. So it's just been a terrible week, with Tiernan Lynch leaving, they're out of Europe. they're heading into a game that really will define their season, because if Derry do lose to UCD, the season's over. The James McLean thing hasn't gone away. They did try and terminate his contract. I think the club have handled this very, very badly. James himself, I think, has made a lot of mistakes this year in terms of social media activity, comments he's made, his comments on RTE. So there is blame on both sides, but I think the club have handled it very, very badly. And the fact that they had to retract their threat, they didn't threaten to sack him. They did issue a contract, a notice of termination of contract, and they hadn't done it by through the proper procedures. The club are entitled to do that, but Derry didn't do it the right way. So it's just been a very, very bad week. And this is still a club with no manager. So it could turn. Look, they beat UCD. They're into the next round. Either Pats or Rovers are gone from the cup. The cup is winnable this year. They get a home draw. They get a new manager. It kicks off. They win the league. They win the cup and it takes off. Lose to UCD. And I think we're into meltdown for Derry City.
Yeah, and it's not just been a bad week for Derry, it's been a bad season really, and there's been so much going wrong on and off the pitch. Now you've got Mark Connolly in as interim boss. The club are seemingly looking for a permanent replacement for Tiernan Lynch. From your point of view, who is out there, and is there maybe a standout candidate in your eyes, Aidan?
There's no standout. I think it depends what they want. Even the title is important, Mark. I think, is it going to be a manager or a head coach? Because a lot of clubs across the game have gone for that now. The role has changed. You used to have a manager, somebody like Pat Fenlon or Dermot Keely or somebody like that, or Noel King went in and they managed the club as well as the team. They had other roles. Now it's head coach. So you were given players by a head of recruitment, by a director of football. You work with those players. You have a role in signing them, okay, but your job is to work with them on the training ground, to coach them, not to manage. And that's what Derry City have to decide. Do they want a manager? Do they want a coach? I actually think they're going to wait until the cup goes, how the cup goes, because if they do lose GCD, they can take their time. The season is over. They're not going to get relegated. They're not going to get into Europe through the league. So they have time to do it. It depends what they want. Do they go for somebody high profile? I've heard Scott Brown mentioned. I think he would appeal. But again, what do they want somebody high profile? Like, you look at the lift that Damien Duff gave to Shelburne, for example. He lifted the profile he gave them. He brought an added thing. I think somebody like Scott Brown would bring that. I don't know, does Scott Brown want to come to Ireland at this stage of a season? And certainly, I don't think he wants to come in next Monday if they're out of the cup and you're looking into, you know, a half year of nothing. So do they go local? There's no obvious candidate. I think they're going to wait and see. A lot of people interested in jobs. You look at who entered the Cork City job, Barry Robson. You look at who Sligo Rovers went for. A lot of clubs now are looking to outside. There was that trend a couple of years ago going for a local young manager, the likes of Tim Clancy and John Daly and people like that. I think clubs are edging away. Waterford went for Graeme Coughlan, Irish, but with a huge experience in the UK. Sligo went for Darren Purse. Cork went for Barry Robson. I think that's the way Derry might go. Somebody from abroad who has experience in management. But again, that won't hide the deeper problems. They need to decide who that is. Are they going to have, who's the head of recruitment? Who's the head of medical? Who's all that? Derry have far bigger problems to deal with than who is just going to manage the team.
So moving on to action on the pitch, as we touched on, Derry face UCD in the Cup tomorrow night at the UCD Bowl. With Derry not going with the league not going the way Derry wanted, out of Europe as well, there's no doubt really that the Cup has become top priority for Derry City. With regards to UCD, under the management of Donegal man Willie O'Connor, what do they have to do from a UCD point of view? What do they have to do to disrupt the Premier Division side Derry City tomorrow night?
I think they look back on the game against Cork at home a couple of weeks ago where they beat them 5-2. I saw the goals, some brilliant goals there. I mean, UCD have some amazing, amazing young talent. And the problem for UCD is they just keep losing it to other clubs. They lost Adam Brennan to Shamrock Rovers. That's UCD's problem. When they lose players, they don't sign for clubs abroad. They go to one of their rivals, which again damages UCD's chances of getting promoted. But what UCD have, you look at the pressure on Derry going to this game. You've got the James McLean thing. You've got these players knowing that if they lose, they will be facing a very, very tough couple of months, and the next home game for Derry is going to be very difficult if they lose. Europe was disappointment, the league was disappointment. If they fail in the Cup, that's possibly career ending Derry wise for some of those players. UCD, Willie O'Connor, I think he'll have a good week. He'll look and say, go out lads, express yourselves and enjoy yourselves. And you look at Cork had been in great form coming into that game. UCD put five past him. So I think if I was Willie O'Connor, I would sit the players down, show them a replay, show them the highlights of that when they scored five against a very full-time, you know, UCD aren't full-time, Cork are full-time. They got huge players there, the likes of Seanan Maguire, Pongo, who was at Finn Harps, Rory Keating, Bulger. You know, they were able to put five past Cork City. I think there's every possibility that UCD could do the same, because there's no pressure on them. Pitch isn't great there. Every pitch in the country is dry at the moment. UCD is never the best pitches in the world because of the demands of rugby, so it is very dry. But I think I would like to be, I think Willie O'Connor will look around and say, you know what, lads, we've a chance this year, and for UCD to get into the next round will be a huge achievement. All the pressure's on Derry, it's not on UCD.
Yeah, elsewhere tomorrow, Galway United face Bray Wanderers and Waterford host Athlone Town. Moving on to Saturday's action, Aidan, sees the meeting of Sligo Rovers in Kerry. A bit of a welcome break from the league for Sligo, and possibly an opportunity to gain back some positive momentum heading into the final part of the season now.
Yeah, it's been a hard summer for Sligo. You know, they didn't just lose their manager, they lost Will Fitzgerald, who I've also spoken to. I think he's the most underrated player in the league. And again, the disappointment for Sligo is that he hasn't gone abroad. He's gone to one of their rivals. So, you know, if Will Fitzgerald turns it on for Shamrock Rovers against Sligo Rovers and pushes them in the remaining games, that's going to be hard to take. I would have loved to see Will Fitzgerald go to a club in Belgium or Holland or somewhere, Germany or somewhere like that. That obviously option wasn't there. He went to Shamrock Rovers. Darren Purse is in, but it's just not changed. They've had a rough few weeks. They haven't had that new manager lift. They've lost Will Fitzgerald. I think Kerry will be fancying this. Kerry really have put it up to, they obviously put it up to Shelburne in the last round. They really put it up to Bohemians 2 years ago. They had a good run last year, but they went to the semi-final. I think Kerry will be fancying this one. They will look at Sligo as vulnerable, and I think it could really just look like being, excuse me, a season to forget for Sligo Rovers. You lose John Russell, you lose your captain, they lost Elding. It's just a rough, and you can't lose players like that with their resources and replace them. So, again, I'm talking up shocks here. I could be, you know, on the wrong side of this when the results come through, Mark, but I think there is a possibility there for Kerry to... Kerry folk a little bit bruised after events in Croke Park, so maybe it's up to the soccer boys to bring something of a smile back to the county after what happened in Croke Park the other week.
Yeah, a big week for Sligo, and of course staring down the barrel of a possible relegation from the Premier Division, so that's a massive game for them on Saturday. Also on Saturday, Drogheda are away to College Corinthians, and Castlebar Celtic travel to Oriel Park. They take on Premier Division side Dundalk. So the big clash of the round, undoubtedly, Aidan, is on Sunday. The top two in the Premier Division go head-to-head at Richmond Park. St Pat's against Shamrock Rovers, that's going to be a cracker, and as you said a bit earlier, one of these two teams are going to be out of the cup, which is great news for the other teams left in it.
Yeah, and Pats have had a couple of hard runs. Pats seem to either, you know, it's all or nothing with Pats in the cup. They've had a couple of first round exits in the last while, or they've got to the final and won it. So Pats have there's no real middle ground. If I was in Pats, I'm really looking forward to this one, because you're looking at Shamrock Rovers. The game tonight, Shamrock Rovers, they're 2-0 up in the first leg, but that could go to extra time. They had travelled with difficulties getting there. They were delayed. We spoke to Stephen Bradley yesterday. He played that down, but they were, you know, just eats in the heat over there. If it goes wrong for Shamrock Rovers on the night, everything then adds in. They might have travel problems coming. They're coming back tired, and you can try and prepare for this. Clubs, Shamrock Rovers are used to this. You fly through the night, you get home on Friday, the earliest of Friday, but your sleep is disrupted, your patterns. Clearly, St Pat's would love to be in Europe. St Pat's would love to be in this situation, being 90 minutes away from the next stage of the Europa League, but they're not. I think they will look at that and see. Shamrock Rovers, I think the reason they've coped with this in the past is, Mark, they've had the squad to do it. They can, someone like Rory Gaffney, Dylan Watts, they can drop them in and out for games. So prioritise Europe over the league or the cup or the other way around. They don't have that now. They're missing Oja Benuna, they're missing Cleary, they're missing McGovern, missing a lot of players. They're missing Pico Lopez, obviously has a 3-match suspension in the league. He can play in these three, but Shamrock Rovers don't, just because of injuries, don't have the squad to deal with it. I think they're vulnerable, and I think St Pat's, the fact that they're at home as well, I think St Pat's will see this as a chance to get one over in Shamrock Rovers. That'll leave them both then with a clear path. St Pat's would fancy themselves to go on and win at Shamrock Rovers. If Shamrock Rovers beat Lillestrøm in the next round of Europe, they won't care that much about the FAI Cup, but I think it's a great chance for St Pat's.
That's Aidan Fitzmaurice, who's been speaking to Mark Gallagher on the FA Cup games. And if you want to go to HighlandRadio.com, the full piece with Aidan is available there now. He also discusses the ongoing situation at Finn Harps in relation to the possible sale of the club. And we also get his thoughts as well in relation to Gianni Infantino, where the FAI have decided not to back him going forward for re-election next year. That's all part of the web-based interview with Aidan Fitzmaurice in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. There is, of course, European matches involving Irish sides, League of Ireland sides tonight. Shamrock Rovers lead 3-1 against Kiev Ignatia. A one would guarantee, at the very least, a place in the Conference League group phase for Stephen Bradley's side. They would also face Norwegian side Lillestrøm in the playoff for Europe's second tier. That one starts in Albania at 8 o'clock. In the Conference League qualifiers, Bohemians are currently 2-1 down to Midtjylland in the second leg. That's 4-1 in aggregate. That game kicked off at 6 o'clock. They're heading into the closing stages of that one shortly. And Shelburne will be hoping to make home advantage count. The mighty Dutch giants Ajax are coming to town, of course. Tulke Park is the venue. Kickoff time 7:45. John Russell's side are 3-1 down as they head on to the second leg of that game. Okay, let's turn our attention to horse racing. Rathmullen's Noel and Leona McLaughlin are celebrating another Dingle Derby success after Tommy Kay's won in Kerry last weekend. It was a great weekend for the Northwest Horse and Pony region, who swept all three of the main events down in Dingle. Noel and Leona, the owner and trainer of Tommy Kay, followed up last year's win with Here We Go Again by taking back-to-back Derby victories in the biggest race on the calendar. It was also consecutive wins for Kerry jockey Billy Rogers. For Noel, it's a third Derby in 2010. His first came with Leona's Pride, a pony named after his daughter, who was only 2 years old at the time. Noel, Leona and Billy joined me in studio earlier this week to reflect on their latest success. We'll start with you, Dad. Three-time winner now at the Dingle Derby.
Yeah. That's...
2010, Leona's Pride. Last year on Here We Go Again. And now with Tommy Kay. It's a difficult thing to win. It's difficult to win it three times. It's even harder to do it back-to-back because I don't think anybody's done the back-to-back before, being an owner, trainer and the same jockey on two different horses. So it's another immense success for you guys.
Yeah, it's serious. It's hard to believe. We went down, we thought we had a chance, all right, but we didn't think it was going to come off at all. And it's just, it hasn't sunk in yet, to be honest.
Tommy Kay was a horse last year that you thought could do it. He finished third, but your other horse ended up winning it. So were you confident that that Tommy Kay was going to be there or thereabouts? Could you see it happening?
I could. He had a chance. It was a very open Derby and there were a lot of good horses on it. And we thought he had a chance he'd be there or thereabouts, you know. And he just, he's usually a wee horse if he jumps off, you know what I mean? He'd be taking on and, you know what I mean, he'd try to burn him out, but... He just, Billy gave him a serious ride and sat in and just creeped into it and he came home strong.
Yeah. So, Billy, you're welcome to Donegal.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you up here, and you had obviously the celebrations on Monday night down in Rathmullen with all the Donegal people. Have you enjoyed the last couple of days?
Yeah, it's been very good now. We've enjoyed all of it.
Tell us about the ride on Tommy Kay at the weekend. Were you comfortable throughout, were you?
Yeah, they were going a good, decent gallop in front of me and I was last the whole way. He's just a tough little horse, so I knew what I had underneath me. So,
yeah, back to back as well. You done it, and Here We Go Again.
Yeah,
last year, which was another fantastic horse. And there's not too many get the opportunity to do two in a row, so there's not.
No, I was privileged to get the opportunity to ride the both of them now, so it was very good.
Yeah, and how did your link up come about with the McLaughlins in Donegal?
I got a text off Leona last year to ask me to ride the big chestnut horse in the Derby. Here We Go Again. And I said I would, so we rode him last year and we ended up winning it at him. That was my first ride for him. And then I've just had a few rides since then as well, and yeah, we were lucky to win it again this year, I suppose.
Well, it's the big one, but this is the Cheltenham of the horse and pony circuit in Donegal, so, or in Ireland, so it is. If you're going to win anything, this is the one to win.
Yeah, that's it, exactly, sure.
Listen, that text message you sent to that man worked out okay, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely worth it.
Listen, what's it been like for you in the last couple of days? Well, I suppose over the weekend, what was it like for you? Because I remember 12 months ago speaking to you, and it was surreal to say the least that you were there and part of it, and then to win it. So was it a bit different going into this year, having experienced all that 12 months ago?
Yeah, well, we were just kind of hoping for the best, to be honest. But when he won the Friday evening, he ran like really, really well. So we knew he had a good enough chance in it anyway. And then watching him then through the race, it was like he was sitting out the back, but the rest of them were going so fast. And then just come around the bing-bong turn and you just seen him flying through them. Yeah. It was just unbelievable. It was hard to believe, to be honest.
You put a lot of work in during the year as a trainer.
Yeah.
So you do. There's a lot of early mornings and late evenings, but
yeah. This
is all worth it, is it?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So worth it.
And you enjoyed the homecoming on Monday night? It was
good to see everybody out supporting it, especially two coming home 2 years in a row.
Listen, it's been a big weekend for Donegal, so mm-hmm. It has done probably the best ever. We'll talk to Dad again. So obviously there was yourselves winning the Dingle Derby yet again, but Ryan Gormley's horse, or Bridget, who had Nina Doherty on board, won the Ladies Derby. A Better Plan for the Gildays won two, the Golden Mile and the Open Mile. Fierce Fancy for the McGettigans, which of course is Patrick McGettigan, that was his horse. They had victory as well. And Step Aside for the Oars and Balliar kept off a fine weekend for all concerned. And that's probably evidence now, Noel, of where this sport is in Donegal and the level that it's become. Obviously, we know the likes of Dylan, Patrick McGettigan, Luke McAteer, all these other jockeys from the Northwest. There's lots of them now at the moment. But at this level, it just shows where Donegal is here. They're able to take on the might of the ones coming out of Kildare, and things are going really, really well at the moment.
Yeah, there's some very, very good horses in Donegal. We just go and try to do our best, and it works out all right. And there's some good, the good horses, all them horses you mentioned there now, they're all, they could go anywhere, like, in one races, you know, they're good animals.
Listen, we've Leona sitting here. You named a horse after her when you won your first Dingle Derby. How proud are you, and when you see the effort that she puts in, and as I said, the early mornings and the late nights and getting these horses ready and then having success like this, where does that sit with you, Noel?
Ah, it's brilliant. It's just all worth it, you know. It is some buzz to... When I won the Derby in 2010, I never thought I'd won again. I thought, you know, just a champ, but I won it last year and then I couldn't believe it. It hasn't sunk in yet.
Yeah,
you know, to be honest.
Which is the best to date? That's probably putting you on the spot, is it? It's hard today, to pick one.
This year, because Tommy Kay would have been our favourite. We have him this 3 years, and he would be our favourite wee horse.
Right.
You know, just because here we go again. We only had him about a couple of months last year, but I don't want to take it away. It's lovely to win it. He's a good horse too, but Tommy Kay would be our favourite.
Yeah,
you know.
Is that the same with you, Leona? Is it?
Yeah, definitely. He's just a wee gem.
Yeah, you strike up a bit of a relationship with the horses, with the animals, don't you? Specific wee relationships, but different, but there's always ones that are a wee bit more special.
Tommy's just a wee character, like. Yeah. He's just amazing.
Can you go again and do three in a row? Has anybody done three in a row down in Dingle? No.
Yeah, I think a fella, Chips Mullins, I think he done three in a row with a horse, Rising Tide, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure now, but I think he done three in a row.
It's another target for you now, Leona, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll give it a go anyway.
Listen, Billy, we mentioned, obviously, Donegal jockeys that we follow all the time, and Dylan has won the Dingle Derby, but your career now is going to evolve. You're not going to be part of this, are you, next year, looking for three in a row with the McLaughlins, because you're stepping up on a level. You're going to some of the bigger stuff, are you?
Yeah, this is my last year in the pony racing now, so it was nice to get the Derby from my last year, so...
It's a good thing to carry in to the next stage of your career, isn't it? Because obviously, as I said, Dylan and other jockeys have come through and won Dingle Derbies, and that's on the CV. And the ears would be perked up now as you're going to head into the next stage.
Yeah, 100%. It was great to have it on the CV. Like, there's some great jockeys that have won it down through the years, and it was nice to get my name in it.
Yeah. So when will you find out now what the lay of the land's going to be next year for you when you go to apprentice, or has that been finalised yet, has it, Billy?
No, I'm just talking to Mum and Dad and everyone at home about it first, and then we'll see after that.
It's a great way to go on to the apprentice year, isn't it, off the back of double Dingle success,
serious.
No?
Yeah. Oh, it's serious.
Yeah.
To have that there, like, it's... Do you have two Dingle Derbies? You know, it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Well, we wish him all the very, very best for the next stage in his career. What's next for the McLaughlins, Leona? You've got the Dingle Derby. You're going to enjoy this for a few days, but does the work stop or the work continue, or where are we at?
No, the work will continue.
Right, okay. Is there any other big races now in the horizon for you coming up in the next number of weeks, or where's that sitting at, Noel? Or
Gisala's
on now this weekend, a two-day meeting on the beach, okay. Down in Mayo. And then there's a meeting in Carrisafeen. But Billy has a big meeting then in Scotland. He's done the Scottish circuit this year. He's a big meeting in Scotland, the Peter Pan, on September. And that'll be it, kind of finished.
And is the Peter Pan a sort of level of a race where the Dingle Derby would be? What would be one of the big ones?
Yes, there's a mile, I think it's a mile.
Seven furlongs
would be the big race at the end of the season. But we're having hopefully to have another meeting in the Northwest before it closes up.
Okay, so there could be a bit more success between now and the end of the season.
Sure. We'll see. Yeah, sure.
Well, good luck in Scotland now, because if you can win the Peter Pan, and then you'll be heading on into the next ranks. I tell you, they'll certainly be looking at you then. But listen, guys, enjoy the continued success of the Dingle Derby. And well done to everybody who was down last week from Donegal and had success. It was a super, super weekend. And again, it was topped off by the Derby success by the McLaughlin. So Noel, Leona and Billy, thanks for coming in. We appreciate you taking time out to join us here and tell us the story, and continued success to everybody.
Thank you very much, Josh.
It's great that they called in the studio following the homecoming on Monday evening. They were here on Tuesday, and I'm sure the celebrations are continued. So well done to everyone involved there. Okay, the final section now on the Score programme tonight is around the sport of rallying. John Armstrong and Shane Byrne made a winning return to Rally 2 Machinery at the Grampian Forest Rally last weekend, taking their first ever gravel rally victory against strong British Rally Championship and International Rally 2 opposition. After winning the final two rounds of last year's European Rally Championship, the Grampian success means it is three Rally 2 wins in a row for the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy duo. The Fermanagh-Donegal partnership will switch their focus back to the World Rally Championship with the closing four rounds all in gravel, and their aim is to show better performance and results in trying to secure a seat for the 2027 campaign. Speaking with me this week, Brookless native Byrne said it was a productive outing in Scotland.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it was nice to be back to gravel again and a little closer to home over in Scotland, up in the Aberdeen area direction. So, yeah, we've been close on gravel a few times, but it was nice just to get it across the line in the Grampian of the weekend. And we had good, strong competition. We had Nikolai Greisen was there, and Russell and Lancey's. They're also competing in the World Championship this year. Elvin Evans and Scott Martin were there in the Toyota Yaris Rally 2, but as a demonstration car. But yeah, Scotty was sharing some times with us over the weekend. So yeah, it's very encouraging, the pace between us all, you know. So yeah. The Rally 1's coming to an end this year, the Rally 2 cars will essentially be the pinnacle car of the sport next year. So it's good to see where our pace is at. You know, with not being in the car for, I don't know how many months it's been now, you know, but it definitely took a little while to get readjusted to what the car can do and the speed, and I suppose maybe the lack of aero in the car. With the car we're in this year, we have quite a lot of aero. When you're using the aero at its, you know, full potential, it can be up to 150 kilo of downwards weight. So you can imagine you can take corners a lot faster. But yeah, let's just say the test now, the first corner we came into, we soon realised we didn't have the aero and we had to adjust.
Very good. But listen, you went on and you drove very, very well to take the one in that rally. But there was a bigger purpose for you competing there. Obviously, there was the rally too, but you're looking further down the line here at Scotland in 2027, because it's going to be a round of the WRC, Shane.
Yeah, so earlier in the year, Scotland was announced as a championship round for the WRC for 2027. And the stages are, I'm not right sure, but maybe some of the stages we don't have again will be part of the event next year. But when it's a WRC event, you could be travelling an hour and a half each way of where we were based in the Bankery area. So it's good just to get a feel for the lay of the land, obviously collect some data, what the tyre wear was like on the Hankook tyres and stuff like that. So it was a good weekend's work and performance from us and our teammates, Romit and Sim, were there. So yeah, obviously M-Sport will have their feedback and thoughts as well on the car, the event, the tyres. So, yeah, it's nice to be part of that process of gathering info for next year. And, yeah, it'll be nice to be part of Rally Scotland next year.
Yeah, because there you are in Scotland and you're taking as much information from all different sort of sections of the car and of your performance and of the roads and everything, with the aim of being part of Scotland next year. But as we speak here, you still don't know if you're going to be part of the WRC series next year, Shane, which makes it a bit of a strange equation that you're doing all this, but you still don't know what's going to be happening come next year, 2027.
Yeah, I suppose it's like a funny situation. You're always, well, for me, I know I'm always like trying to forward plan. I think maybe any any sports person's the same when that's your livelihood. But no, we're just, I suppose you can go down that rabbit hole and easily get lost. But both John and I are just focusing on putting our best foot forward, and we had a good weekend in the Grampian and we enjoyed that. And our focus now is on Paraguay and Chile, because we still have 4 rounds left in the Rally One era and the World Championship. But yeah, we still have things to prove there to hopefully, you know, secure like a seat or a drive for next year. So no, we're both very determined, and yeah, there's still plenty of work left to do.
Obviously, there's been no sort of concrete direction in relation to what is going to be happening next year. But even though you guys have had a number of offs this year, there has been parts of the season where you have shown serious, serious potential in the car. And it's those wee sort of nuggets that you're hoping will form part of something being sealed for next season, Shane.
Yeah, both of us are very highly driven, and you know, you can easily come in and maybe just go around and get experience and such, but we wanted to try and, you know, find the limits too. And sometimes we went past the limit, and unfortunately we were sitting on the side of the road a couple of times. But along with that, we also showed good flashes of brilliance in Croatia earlier in the year. We were able to be consistently in the top 3 times, you know. We got a faster stage time in Greece, and we did have little things that was kind of just hampering the process, like punctures. And you know, it's easy to say that, you know, you need a bit of luck, but also you need to find your own luck. So you just have to keep working hard, and there will be a day that everything will click into place, and you'll get that perfect Friday that we're really searching for at the minute. Because with the gravel rallies and the road positioning order, the next couple of rallies, we've quite a good road position. So if we can get a clean Friday, it sets us up well for Saturday. And you know, if you can carry good momentum on a Saturday, you're into Sunday, and sooner, yeah, you know, you're at the end of the rally end, so you're striving for a good result and performance. But our focus now is just to try and get a clean Friday and, you know, good performance, and just and finish the rallies, because all that mileage is very important, Oisin. And especially like in Portugal this year, we missed the Sunday stages, and we missed out in iconic stages like Faf. So, you know, if we go back there next year, we're going into it as, I suppose, essentially as rookies, and you're only getting that experience then. So it is very important to go hard, but it's also very important to get the mileage off the stages also. Keep doing what we're doing, and you know, just show and provide more consistency as us as a crew. And yeah, hopefully going into 2027, you know, it'll be the same as this year. We'll have hopefully a drive for next year. And you know, it's all these things don't happen without the support of all our sponsors and personal sponsors in the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy. You know, they're fully behind us. So yeah, let's hope we can do a good job.
So in saying that, you're going to spend now a number of weeks in South America with Paraguay and Chile coming up. This could be probably the most crucial part of the season for you guys, Shane.
Yeah, so this week's just about, we had 3 rallies in 4 weeks there. We had Estonia, Finland and the Grampian. So for me, this week was just about getting a bit of a break and getting back into a good training schedule. And I'm just going to start my prep for the 2 South American rallies now at the weekend and head down there. So we'll be down there for roughly about a month or so. We'll have a week off in between events just for a bit of downtime and to re-prep. The team will re-prep the car down there also. And yeah, hey, we're both looking forward to it. We've never been down that neck of the woods, or maybe that part of the world is better to say. But no, we're really looking forward to it, and it's going to be a new challenge. But that's the great thing about rallying is, you know, you get to go to these places and you get to drive one of these cars and see what you can do.
Okay then, Shane. Well, listen, you have a lot of prep work now to get organised for the next number of events. 4 to go: Paraguay, Chile, Sardinia and Saudi Arabia. And fingers crossed, there'll be some information coming your way in relation to what's happening for you and John next year in 2027. And all we can do is wish you the best of luck over the next number of weeks. Thanks, Shane.
Thank you, Oisin.
That's Shane Byrne, who spoke to me this week, heading into a crucial part of the season. Of course, for himself and John Armstrong. Okay, just taking a look at the soccer. Of course, Shamrock Rovers away from home And Albania continue the Europa League qualification. They're up against Ignatia at 8 o'clock. So they're about, what, 8 minutes away from kickoff time there. Shelburne and Ajax have just started. Currently no goals to report in that one. And Bohemians are into the closing minutes and seconds of their game in Denmark against FC Michelin. It's currently 3-2 in that tie. On aggregate, that would make it 5-2 in favour of the home side. So Bohs are about to make their exit from Europe. While in golf, in the St. Jude Championship in America, it is, of course, the FedEx Series. Michael Thorbjørnsen, Jordan Spieth and Kurt Kitayama all lead by one on 5 under. As for Tommy Fleetwood, he's 4 under alongside Gary Woodland, just 1 off the pace there. Further on down the leaderboard, Shane Lowry plus 1 at the 14th. Rory McIlroy had a bit of a stinker today, 4 over after a 74. And finally, just to remind you, at 9:28 this evening, Mark English, of course, is in the European Athletics Championship 800 metre final, where he is going for gold. He's in the form of his life. He set a new championship record, of course, in the semi-final yesterday. Very much capable of winning a gold medal. He's going to need things to go his way. Tune in at 9:28 and hopefully Mark will be a European champion tonight. That's it from the Score programme. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, it will be available shortly online on highlandradio.com. What's left of it. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports. Find all your GAA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.